Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 15 says, "You know, Lord, remember me and take note of me. Avenge me against my persecutors. In your patience, don't take me away. Know that I suffered disgrace for your honor." And verse 16 says, "Your words were found, and I ate them. Your words became a delight to me, and the joy of my heart, for I bear your name, Lord God of armies. I never sat with the band of rebels, and I did not celebrate with them, because your hand was on me. I sat alone, for you filled me with indignation. Why has my pain become unending, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? You truly have become like a mirage to me, water that is not reliable. Therefore, this is what the Lord says." Now notice verse 19. "If you return, I will take you back. You will stand in my presence. And if you speak noble words rather than worthless ones, you will be my spokesman. It is they who must return to you. You must not return to them. Then I will make you a fortified wall of bronze to this people. They will fight against you, but they will not overcome you, for I am with you. I'm with you to save you and rescue you. This is the Lord's declaration. I will rescue you from the power of evil people and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless." It is a new day. It's a new day for God's Word. It's a new start for the family of faith and for the individual family, as we dig into fresh soil, as we await the springing forth of new life, a bloom, a flower. We see a new beginning. We see a new beginning as God does something new, something that's never been experienced before, like the dawning of a new day, as a new day begins to take place, as the sky begins to brighten up. We see the beauty of God, and it is fresh because it reminds us of the fresh opportunities. It reminds us of the fresh possibilities. We can almost smell it. We can feel it. We can experience it. And just as God did with Joshua as he led the people across the Jordan, he's doing for us. It was said, "You have never passed this way before." It's said of us today. It is an opportunity, my friends, an opportunity of faith, an opportunity of obedience, a time for us to trust and obey God. We need to allow our desires to be so consumed with a new beginning, with a new day, with a new experience with God, that we just can't rest without enjoying that, without smelling it, without experiencing it. Because you see, God promised just as much. He said in His Word, Behold, I am about to do a new thing." We've talked about it over the last couple of weeks. We've talked about how this new day works its way into our lives as we personally experience a new man that's been created in us. And I want to remind you today that the Scriptures tell us that that new man is to be fed. We're to lift up and to acknowledge that new man. We're to cling to that new man. Listen, it's easy for us to allow the old man to stick up its ugly, useless life in us. It's easy for us to do that. But what we need to do is push that old man down and allow the new man to rise up in our lives as we experience a new day, a new life. It's also experienced in us corporatively as a body of believers. For it is a new life in the day of the church. As I was sitting there while Tina was singing, I was thinking about the fact that we now have some of the best vehicles I have ever seen in my 56 years of living. I remember some of the old rattle traps we rode in as kids. No air conditioning, leather or plastic seats, a shifter in the floor so nobody could sit in the middle. If you sit in the middle, well, you know what happened if you sit in the middle and the shifter's in the floor. You just had to deal with that. We have some nice vehicles. Some of you are sitting in cars that have leather seats that are cool and heated. Cool in the summer and heated in the winter. If you're like my girls, you heat it in the winter. You heat it in the summer as well, while the air blows on you so cold. We have nice things. We're experiencing a new thing in the life of the church as we experience God doing great things. 56 years of my living, I've not seen anything like this before. I haven't. And I want you to know, my friends, I enjoy what God is doing. And we'll talk a little more about that. Let me, friends, today, though, focus on the fact that we are in a new day, a new beginning in our relationship with the Word of God. The psalmist prayed, and our prayer ought to ever be the same. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I place my trust in you. There is nothing worse than a dusty Bible, my friends, because a dusty Bible is a sign of a dirty life. I write in the fly book of, or the fly leaf of many of my Bibles, this book will keep me from sin, or sin will keep me from this book. You know, so many times I've walked through a parking lot and I've seen Bibles on the back deck of a car, a back window of a car, and I've wondered, when was the last time they picked it up? Maybe they picked it up and took it into church, but they threw it back on the back deck of that window. Dirty life. Dirty life. No used book. Dirty life. But yet, there is a wonderful thing about God's Word, because if you use God's Word, it will change your life. A well-worn Bible is a sign of a well-lived life. There's been many a times I've stood at a graveside with a church member's Bible, and I've held that Bible and talked about how they use that Bible. This is one of my study Bibles. I have several. This is one of my study Bibles, and it is wore slap out. You can look at that thing and tell it's been used. Doesn't necessarily mean that everything has worked right here, but there's one thing about it. I know where I can find the answers to what's going on here. I know where I can find the answers. I can find them in God's Word. So, my friends, my question is, which are you? Are you a dusty Bible, or are you a well-worn Bible? Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16 is our text, and it says, your words are found, and I ate them. Your word was with me and was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name. Oh, my friend, listen, the devil will call you by your sin, but God will call you by your name. You are called by my... He calls thee by my name, O God of hosts. The weeping prophet. The weeping prophet is speaking judgments. He's speaking awful judgments to the people of God. He's trying to share with them the truth that God is with them and that God is going to bring judgment upon their sin. But in the midst of all that, he finds hope. He finds hope, and it's in the Word of God. It was a word of promise in verse 19. We read that text. And in verse 20, it's a word of protection. God's Word is strength to our lives, and we need to find strength in it in this new day. These troubles and these trials that are going on in our world today, the Word of God speaks to them. What's going on in your heart, the Word of God speaks to it. What's going on in your life and in your family, God speaks to it. The sorrow that you have, God speaks to it. The struggles you have, God speaks to it. We need to use His Word. There's three things that I want you to look at today in regards to verse 16. Your words were found, and I ate them. Your word was with me, the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O God of hosts. First of all, we need to discover God's Word. Your words were found, Jeremiah says. Jeremiah is speaking to rebellious, sinfully stubborn people who are opposed to him and opposed to his ways. They're resistant to God's message, the one that comes from the Word of God through the prophet of God. And while performing all of these things, while performing his calling of judgment upon the people of God, Jeremiah is reminded that God's Word is for his own life. It is for his own life. It's easy for us to find words of comfort for somebody else in the Word of God. Somebody comes to us, they're struggling, we can find the words in Scripture for them. We can share it with them. They're searching for an answer, we can share it with them. They're searching for help in their relationships, we can share it with them. We can share it with them if they're having problems in their life. I want to ask you, Christian friend, I want to ask you, are you searching God's words for what it says to you? Are you looking at God's word for the struggles, for the searching, for the relationships, for the life that you have? Consider discovering God's word on the daily pursuit. Discover God's word on your personal life daily. Ask God to speak to you daily. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus was using that when he was being tempted. When he was being tempted of the evil one in the wilderness, he was being tempted to make the rocks into bread. He was being tempted to jump off and let the angels capture him. But he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We need to pursue God's word daily. We need to discover it in our lives daily. Secondly, we need to have a daily priority that we make God first in all things, and that we make his word a part of our lives. Priorities reveal, my friends, they reveal what is important to you. Think about that. Priorities reveal what's important to you. But you need to seek him. You need to seek him first. The scripture says very plainly, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. You and I need to seek God in our lives, and we need to make that our priority in our lives. I found an interesting quote this week. It says, the things that are most consistent in life are most important. The things that are most consistent in life are most important. So not only do we need to discover God's word on a daily pursuit, we need to make it a daily priority. And here's the third thing. We need to make it a daily passion. The passion of a believer, the passion of a spiritual life, is a hunger and a thirst for God's word. I don't know about you, but this heat is getting to me. Middle of the day, you're out in this. You exert just a little energy. You don't have to exert a lot of energy. Just exert a little energy, and the middle of the day will kill you. Listen, we thirst in that time. I mean, we want something to drink, and we want it now. God's Word needs to be the same way in our life. We need to be searching for His Word every day. We need to make that a passion for our lives. It needs to be a driving force in our life. The psalmist said, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come? When shall I come and appear before God? That speaks of a desperate dependence upon God. I want to desperately depend on God, don't you? I want to desperately depend on Him. I want to hear His Word. And I want to block the distractions that would keep me from hearing God's Word. So often we allow distractions to come into our lives, and we miss what God's wanting to say. We're distracted by what we want. We're distracted by what someone else's personal wisdom is all about. We're distracted by what the world might be saying. But I want you to know, my friends, when God's Word speaks, we need to be hearing it. So we need to let all the distractions go to the side and allow God's Word to speak to our lives. We need to let Him, we need to hear His Word. Secondly, we need to heed His Word. Listen, it's all right for you to go and read John Gresham for pleasure. It's okay. It's okay for you to read other things for pleasure. But I want you to know, my friends, when you read God's Word, you need to read it so that you might be able to practice what it has to say in your life. You need to practice it. We need to be about God's business in this new day. We need to be desperately dependent upon God. We need to be hearing His Word. We need to be heeding His Word. Here's the second thing I see in this section of Scripture. Not only did he discover God's Word, but he digested God's Word. Listen, what was occurring in Jeremiah's life is what God desires to occur in every one of our lives. Your words were found and I ate them. There's discovery, yes, but there's digesting. There's partaking. There's intaking of the Word of God. There's an internalizing that takes place in our lives. I see a steak over at Triple R come before me, sitting and they put it right before me on that plate with that big baked potato and a salad beside it. And I can sit there and I can look at that steak all evening long, but it's not going to do me any good. I can smell it. I can even almost taste it as I'm looking at it. But until I put it in my mouth, it's not going to do me any good. It's going to be a worthless slab of meat that's been burned to a crisp and put on a plate. Yes, that's the way I like my steaks. I'm sorry. I know that some like them bleeding. That's fine. Knock the horns off of it and put it on the plate. That's all right. If that's the way you want it, just don't make fun of me. I like mine burnt. And I like to put it in there and not look at it. I like to partake of it. I like to internalize it. Because you see, when I internalize it, it does something for me. And the same is true with the Word of God. When we internalize God's Word, when we put it within our lives, it will change our lives. We're digesting it. We're letting it come into our lives. We're doing that by reading God's Word daily. We're doing that by writing down what He speaks to us, by journaling. I love the fact that so many of our teenagers today are enjoying that part of their life. They're journaling in their Bibles. They're drawing pictures that relate to a text in the Scripture. They're seeing what God's Word is saying. They're writing down what it speaks. Studying God's Word with others will help us in digesting God's Word. By obeying promptly, that will help you digest the Word of God. And by sharing what you've learned with others, that will help you in digesting God's Word. So we have a discovery of God's Word. We have a digesting of God's Word. But here's the third thing. We have a delight in God's Word. In a world of defeat, Jeremiah was finding victory by his discovery of God's Word. He was digesting God's Word. But there's also his delight. Your words were found, that's discovery, and I ate them, that's digesting. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, that's delight. Because you see, the Father speaks a word into your heart. God speaks a word into your heart. And as you bend your life, and as you open up to God's Word in daily devotion to Him, He will speak a word in season every time. Every time you go to God's Word, you'll find something new. You'll find something interesting. You will find something that will speak to you and to your situation. Doubt it? Do you doubt it? Then try. Go to God every day and see if it doesn't speak to you every day of your life for the season that you're in, for the situation that you're finding yourself in. For the Word of God is living. The Word of God is powerful. I love the word active. It is powerful. It is active in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. So the Word of God speaks to us. The Father speaks to us through His Word. The Lord guides us by His Word. We find guidance in God's Word. In Psalm chapter 32, in verse 8 and 11, it says, I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Be glad and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Listen, God's Word, when it speaks, it's going to guide you. Guiding you in your life. Guiding you in what's going on in our world today. Guiding you in your response. Guiding you in all ways of your life. In every little thing and every big thing, God's Word will guide you. Here's the third thing of that. The Lord draws us. Through His Word, He draws us closer and closer to His heart. Jesus said, He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. In our world today, we need God's Word to draw us closer to the heart of God. Instead of the heart of the problems, the heart of the issues, the heart of the situation, we need to be drawn to the heart of God. Our world needs to know the heart of God. Because the heart of God is a heart of love. The heart of God is a heart of forgiveness. The heart of love, the heart of God is a heart that does not see differences, but sees us as a united part of a body of Christ. Let God's Word draw you closer to His heart. Because you see, God's word is not drudgery. It's not something you don't like to do or something you try to avoid. Fathers, and husbands and men, I know how you are. We get a honey-do list and we want to push that off and push that off and push that off, because some of that stuff is just drudgery. It really is. But I want you to know, my friend, God's word is not drudgery. It's delight. It causes joy in our lives. It causes excitement in our lives. It causes a newness in our life. It encourages us to change our attitude. It encourages us to change our altitude. It encourages us to change in our way toward others, toward those that we come in contact with. Because you see, when we take the word of God and we discover it and we digest it and we delight in it, it will spill out into the life of someone else. It'll spill out into the lives of people around us. This is God's book, my friends. This is God's word. This is God's Bible. And it is our word for our life today. We need to use it. We need to take it. And in this new day, in this new time, we need to allow it to speak to our lives. Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to share. And Lord, I just pray that you'll make us people of your word. We say we are. Lord, I just pray that in this new day, we will discover that we will digest, that we will delight in your word as never before. May we take what you say to us and use it in our daily lives. And may it change our world that we live in, so that it will change someone else's world, so they'll change their world. And Lord, it will just keep flowing. It'll keep flowing. Lord, if there's one today that's listening that doesn't know you as personal Lord and Savior, the Word of God tells them how they can be saved. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you confess your sins and trust Him as Lord and Savior of your life, you will be saved. That's what the Bible says. And so, Lord, I pray that today, for that one who doesn't know you, they'd come to know you as personal Lord and Savior. We give you thanks, Father. It's in your mighty, precious, marvelous name that we pray. And by the way, happy Father's Day, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you for being here today.